from the Bills' famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the tuna country Matt Kemp. And before we get to the guy who's bellied up to the bar, we have a special guest in studio tonight, making his triumphant return after, I don't know when the last time you were here, Colin. We have Colin in studio. He and I are leaving tomorrow for a trip, which we are going to discuss here directly on the program. And bellied up to the bar is number 33 for, I guess, the Mean Green of North Texas. And it looks like he has been compensated very well with NIL money based on the bling that he's wearing tonight.
I think those are beads. I think my man was showing his tatas off. You need to take those down to
Baton Rouge.
You need to take those down to Baton Rouge with you. Look, they even jingle like beads.
I went all out, baby. I am Mean Green all the way now.
You went all out with
Florida choked. And I am Mean Green. We are going to the playoff, baby. I'm wearing all my gold.
Tulane standing tonight. Right in the way.
Yeah, there's a couple teams. San Diego State's still there.
Yeah, I think
JMU.
James Madison is at the top.
Nope. Actually, Tulane is at the top.
How about Navy, who beat?
But Tulane, South Florida, is the highest ranked of them right now.
Yeah, they have to beat Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they should be in. But anyway, he is the fabulous one,
what
Freddie Benders.
That'll be.
And before we get into, well, first of all, I want to remind everybody that we're on social media and we are on TikTok. And Colin, the reason why he's here, I mean, he has the pulse of the youth of America. He's got his finger right on the pulse. And he made a very good point. Why would we tell you what our TikTok picks are going to be on the show? We are not going to do that. We are going to make you find our TikTok page.
Yeah, you got to earn it.
And watch, and they're really fun videos. They're very well done. Been getting lots of good response off of those. Last week, again, I believe we had a winning record on our TikTok picks. We went 3-2. Overall, we had exactly 500 week. Tuna and I went 3-2. Freddie and Colin both went 2-3, so we were 10-10 for the week, which brings our overall full season college football record against the spread to 118-91-1. I keep thinking eventually we're going to have another push.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, that's hard. We've gone through a whole season and had one push, and that was like,
wasn't it week one?
Week one or week two, maybe.
Yeah.
It was very early.
Tuna, you hit on that Boston College, didn't you?
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
And
I love it. Yeah, well, Coastal Carolina can go blow it.
Boston College almost won that game outright.
Yes. Boston College absolutely almost won. They had a very good chance to win that game.
Yeah,
the ACC continues to be just absolute.
I think it's hilarious.
I mean,
they're cannibalizing themselves. Like, it's just every team is shitty enough to where they're all the same.
And
you just never know what's going to happen.
And, dude, I'm telling you, the MAC, all the smaller schools that I bet like crazy, even the group of five teams besides some of the top ones, everybody that these teams with losing records are starting to beat the team with winning records. I mean, Southern Miss is 7-2. They come off a bye week. They're at home, and they get beat by a team that's 3-7. It just doesn't make sense. So a lot of these games, the smaller schools, it's getting way harder.
What was that spread for Boston College?
16.5.
16.5. I feel like at this point, for whatever ACC team is favored, if it's more than 3, you might want to take a little second guess at that
Now there's some that are worse than others, but for the most part, like, you can take 9 of those top 9 schools, and they all can win anytime. Now, I wouldn't put Boston College in that realm, but they've actually been playing pretty
good football. They're
playing
better. That's another team with a losing record that is playing better football. It's getting betting is getting way harder right now. Way harder.
Yeah, and of course, locally here, had another very disappointing Louisville game last week. I mean, I don't even know what we can say, what we can add to what we've already discussed, because it was more of the same on Friday night.
I just want to say real quick, I'm glad it happened. Now I know that going into every season, our best case scenario is always going to be 9-3, 8-4, 7-5. This should be my expectations going into every damn season, because we're just never going to have an entire team together at once. You know what I mean? It's just how it is. The fact that, you know, Isaac Brown's probably played his last snap in a U of L uniform, that sucks. And I hated that Kewan Brown played his heart out in that game. And then, you know, we don't – it gets shit away. Yeah. And that's on coaching. That's on Miller Moss. That's on everybody.
I know what it's on, too, and it involves my team. Like, idiot kickers.
Well, No. That's on Jeff Brohm, because he pulled – Cooper Ranvier has been money all year. He missed an extra point that night. And then when it comes time to kick the 50-yarder, which – Ranvier has been nailing all year long. They bring in the other kid who is known for hitting – like, he can only hit a 60-yarder and that's it. Anything, like, shorter than 58, he's got no shot. But anyway, Brohm said that he thought that Ranvier lost his confidence, but you could see Ranvier over there just mad as hell that he didn't get to go in and kick that ball. Either, tons of questions. It's, I mean, I could do 4 hours on it, and there's just no need to.
Right. It was, I mean, it was very disappointing, and it was disappointing for me as a, you know, a follower of the program and someone who wants them to do well, to see that happen two games in a row. I did want to ask you quickly, Tuna, what you thought about Miller Moss's post-game comments when he was talking about they asked him about the personal foul penalties, and he said something to the effect of, well, that's a culture issue that they need to look at next season. How do you feel about Miller Moss saying that?
Well, what he said was absolutely true.
That's what I was going to prelude this with, is that he's right.
He's definitely right.
But is he the guy that, that should be saying that?
He's the last person that needed to say that.
Totally.
Especially for one, when you've played 4 years at another university and you're here for 1 year, you don't get to talk about culture.
That's yes.
And then when you're a complete idiot, every time the ball snapped, like, you don't get to speak on that. He single-handedly lost us games this year.
Yes.
So you don't get to speak on that. If an offensive lineman got up there who's been at, you know, here four years, and he got up and he's frustrated at himself and everybody else, like, I'll take that. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I agree. It probably shouldn't have been said, but you're right. And it, you know, good for you for saying it, but whatever. To hear those words out of Miller Moss's, I mean, it just made me want to vomit. Yeah. Like, of all people, I would have told him, you can go on and pack your bags right now. We don't need you.
That's what I thought. Like, I thought when he came out and said that, my initial response was, number one, exactly what you said. Anybody else that's been here, that's been part of the culture, part of the program, has earned that right. He has not. But secondarily, I thought, he may never play another snap at U of L. Like, Brohm may just go ahead and say, the hell with you. We're starting
Deuce.
Yeah, Deuce.
I think, here's the thing against our last two games. I know Brohm wants to beat UK more than anything. And I think he's going to give us the best situation to do it. And if he thinks Miller Moss is our best chance to do it, Miller Moss is going to freaking play.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you right now, if Deuce Adams doesn't play at least 20 snaps down at SMU, then that means that we're getting a quarterback out of the portal again.
Yeah.
Because he has no faith. After everything that Miller Moss has done this year, it shows that he has no faith in anybody on that roster.
Yeah, because you would have thought, I mean, given the team's relative struggles as of late, that he would have at least gotten a series or two in a row.
I would have benched every single offensive lineman. I would have benched Miller Moss. Like, I'd have been like, I don't care. Like, that's, I guess, where the culture starts. And, like,
yeah,
you know, but it's not like – The problem is it's like a tough call to make because all these games have been super close.
Yeah.
It's not like we're getting blown out. If you're down by 20, yeah, pull him and go on about your business. But like when you got a shot to win and he honestly thinks that that guy, but you can tell, he has no faith in him. He's coaching with handcuffs. Look at the end of the first half.
Oh, I know.
You know what I mean? Like, I know. We just didn't even make an attempt to move the ball downfield. I think Jeff Brohm's more scared of turning the ball over or something stupid happening than he is actually getting yardage. And that's not Jeff Brohm.
Right.
You know, you watched him at Purdue or Western Kentucky. That's not how he coaches.
Well,
so
never has been.
No.
But anyway, I didn't mean to sidetrack the conversation there, but I did think it was worth at least discussing a little bit. Now I wanted to get to the other disappointment from a local standpoint that took place last night.
Let's move it over to something else.
Over in Lexington. Coming off of, and we discussed the UofL-Kentucky game at length last week, and we were all in agreement that while the game got close at the end, that it was more or less dominated from start to finish by Louisville. Well, last night, Kentucky plays Michigan State at Madison Square Garden, and it didn't get close at the end. It was domination from basically the opening tip, and maybe even more distressing than the game itself, I think, was some of the post-game comments from the coach and from players. And you've really got now a situation where just a few games into the season, there are questions swirling around this UK basketball team that I don't think most people saw coming. And their schedule, I was looking at their schedule, and they still have to play North Carolina. They still play Indiana. They play
St. John's.
They play Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Which Gonzaga looks to be a top five team.
Dude, yeah. Like, they play a lot of big four schools.
And then, of course, you know, the SEC is going to be very good this year. And so there's a lot of questions.
Or not, SEC ain't looking that good either, to be honest.
They're not like they was last year.
No.
But
Big Ten looks
But so, Fred, I wanted to get your initial thoughts on the game. And then your thoughts on kind of the way that Pope reacted in the post game.
Yeah, and I had to rewatch the game because I had some things going on. So I rewatched the game this morning, and oh gosh, you're exactly right. I rewatched the game after I heard a lot of what went on this morning and in the post game show and what some legends that follow Kentucky and ride on there that follow them from game to game that are guys out like Goose Givens, Jack Givens that does the game, that are major, major, classy, reputable people that don't normally say much. They tell it like it is, but
they're not going out of their way to badmouth Kentucky.
And they're not gonna overreact. You see what I mean? But for them to say anything in the regard of being negative, there is something going on. And I think it all starts with the head coach. And look, you all remember when I was on here, I wasn't on board with Pope to begin with, but it's on tape.
No, I agree with you. Yeah. I just think he's
but
awesome.
But I was won over by him, just like I was won over by Kels at U of L. They're both great guys. And I think what happens is Pope is he's an emotional guy like Kels is, but I think what happens is that what I've seen is that when you're always a certain way and you're still fairly new to the players and so forth, and you change your persona based on being overexcited or pressure or things of that nature, they kind of take on the way you're feeling. And it just seemed like the beginning of that game when Pope walked into the game and I'm watching because I knew to look and see what they were doing.
Right.
I was already looking for, you know, when you're before a big game, you're talking to everyone. All right, the tip off goes. Well, this time when I watched the game, I was watching everything on the bench before the game. He looked like his dog had just died. I don't know if some shit went down in the locker room before the game, and a lot of people are saying maybe it did. Maybe it went down yesterday, whatever. I don't know what's going on, but ever since the Purdue game, something is not right. Yes, we have an injury to a point guard that I guess Kentucky was really, really relying on harder than I thought they were. I'm not saying I know everything about this team. I don't really start finding out about UK's players and team because I'm so into football until it starts happening.
Well, they had another point guard that they were going all in on, and they lost him in the last second. He went to Villanova.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't think of his name.
I keep wanting to say Cam Akers.
But there was I was telling Colin earlier today, a lot of the sports radio people I was listening to today. Oh, God. I just grabbed that pen that exploded on me last week.
You gotta trash that, dude.
It has exploded worse than it was last week.
I don't think it's on your face.
But Colin, what's the kid's name?
Lamar Wilkerson.
Lamar Wilkerson for IU. A lot of the Kentucky people thought that, and I think Pope thought for a good while that they were going to get him, and he went to IU, and he's been incredible at IU. And I think they've missed on a couple of these guys.
Say all that, and then at the same time, Tim's like, well, Freddie, you told me that they spent $22 million on all these players. I never thought they were that good. Well, I guess I read into it, and I'm not saying it's over. Like, I get it. Like, a lot of people are going, whoa, whoa, pump the brakes. I get it. Pump the brakes. It's early. I think some of those youngsters are – maybe they took that UofL game, lost way harder than they needed to. Look, Louisville's a much better team. They're improved. They're going to be beating Kentucky. Kentucky's going to be beating them. But what I'm getting at is that it's the other things that are going on. When Goose Givens says, I don't know, something's not going on. When Travis Ford, who does the games now, is at practice is saying, these guys don't like each other.
Travis Ford's doing games for y'all now?
He's helping out with UK Athletics.
I had no idea.
And you know what I'm saying? Just people are kind of popping up when I'm listening to Matt Jones. I mean, I'm not saying I follow Matt Jones all the time, but he does know a lot about Kentucky basketball, and he's got a lot of connections.
He should.
And something just is not happening. So I don't know what's gone down, but it needs to be popped out and thrown out and squashed.
I wouldn't be concerned about necessarily the play on the court last night, but something had to have happened internally before that game.
Oh, yeah, they didn't even play. They had nothing.
There was no energy at all.
The coach had no energy. It was like, well, if you ain't going to do it, we're not going to do it. It was kind of one of them things. It was just weird.
I want to give my two cents on this. I think you're going to see this when you get a whole bunch of new players on a team. Sometimes the team doesn't jive with the coach, and the coach doesn't really know how to get the team to buy in with them. And that comes with time. And like I said, like, I think Pope built this team to be like a defensive stopper team. And I think defensive teams, which we said last week, they take a little bit longer to get going. And some of these guys I don't think are fully bought in yet. And I think Pope's having a hard time on, like, I can't get through to these guys. And I think he's just beating himself up so much and being like, I'm doing what I've always done,
right?
But it's not getting through to these guys, and I've got to figure out how to make it work.
I guess my main problem with it last night is even with all those things, you know, the transfer portal's a thing of its own. I didn't expect those guys to come out in MSG last night looking like that they were getting ready for a funeral.
Yeah.
Like that's just really concerning.
I saw Michigan State players all standing up around their team before the game. They're all standing up. The bench, everyone's just laying down on the bench. Like, it was just weird, and it did stick out, and that's what I'm talking about. I'm not freaking out necessarily, but when you look at – let's look at the facts. Since Mark Pope's been there, Kentucky against four – the Big Four, mm-hmm. they're 12-12. Okay, that's not a great record. Okay, and I'm not talking about teams that are ranked. I'm talking about group of four schools that
there's five in basketball.
That are not SEC related. This is just schools that we all right. Another thing, we have been down 10 points or more in the first half to 10 of those teams. What is going on with the start of these Kentucky games? We're always fighting this battle to come back.
The crazy thing is last night, the start of that game, when Michigan State was running with Kentucky, and it was an up-and-down game, I thought Kentucky looked pretty sharp. It's when Michigan State said, we're going to make them play our game.
Yeah.
And then Kentucky didn't even attempt to defend the three at all.
No.
And that was the most threes that Michigan State's even shot this year. I mean, it's.
And I don't understand there's no offensive rebounding. There's no rebounding. There's nothing. And this team has height. I don't understand what's going on. I know it's early. And yes, we played some tough teams, early on it, but that's how it goes. Alabama plays tough teams. U of L is playing tough teams. We're all playing tough. All these tournaments are going. Kansas has played a bunch of tough teams. That's what you got to do to get ready. So it's not like panic mode, but when something's wrong in the locker room and with the coach and things like that, I'm just saying that what needs to happen, that something needs to come out. Or you need to come out in a presser and say, look, we had some internal problems. Those are taken care of. If you want to call it a tweak. Well, you want to call it a tweak?
Maybe Brandon Garrison can come out and talk about it being a culture issue.
Yeah, there you go. But it's just strange, some of the body language and things like that I'm seeing. And now it's being put out in the media, and then people are really looking at it now. And I just think as we go on before SEC play, hopefully it'll come together. But another thing is, hey, you're paying these guys millions of dollars. Some are making more than the other. I already said this from the get-go. I've been against student-athletes getting paid. I'm still there. And here it is. And I know a lot of it's going great. IU, football, things like that. But other schools, it ain't going great. And it isn't going to go great, and it's going to be a lot harder. I know some college coaches have quit, have left, they're done. So it just comes with the territory now. Also, if you're going to get ridiculed more as a college player, you're treated like a professional now. So you better have tough skin if you're going to get paid millions of dollars.
You got this?
In college.
To be fair, I mean, don't you think that kids at Kentucky have like that hasn't changed?
No,
that like the amount of scrutiny that you get as a basketball player at Kentucky hasn't changed because they're getting paid.
No, I'm not saying it's changed, but if someone wants to give it out to them more harder, go ahead and do it. They better expect it.
Well, yeah, I think
I'm not saying that's making them play worse.
No,
I'm saying that it could affect a locker room.
Well,
if some kid's getting got a million and a half or 2 million or something, and some other kid, it just there's a lot more going on, a la Jalen Milroe at Bama with his little website that he had and all of his money that he was making, that he was spending a lot of time on that and maybe not as much time focusing on football.
Well, don't you think it's up to these coaches that are making millions upon millions of dollars
some
to
are,
weed this out
some
and then
are good
stop
at
it
some
and then
are
move
not.
On? And that's up to coach. You got to earn that big paycheck, boys.
I know.
And I'm sorry. You're not going to get $10 million a year.
Especially from a basketball standpoint, when you only have, however many kids you have, 12, 15 kids, and I don't know, of the 15 kids you have on the team, there's, probably 10 that are making significant money. It's paying the right people. And
I get it, but it does create issues. Money creates issues.
You're the CEO of that universe or of that basketball team. You need to vet the person that you're getting. You know what I mean?
And
you can't just get
anybody. I think personally, and not to kind of get away from that and get to the actual play on the court, what I found, and I talked about it last week on this show, that I said I thought Kentucky was constructed as a defensive first to be able to stop, you know, your really athletic, up-tempo teams like an Alabama was last year or Florida was last year. And the fact that they got manhandled by a team that isn't like that, that isn't anything offensively
complete
like
opposite,
like what those teams are, is a, that's a huge danger zone flag for me. And that was what I was thinking last night. I know Michigan State shot the ball really well, but they shot the ball really well because they were wide freaking open most of the night.
I don't know much about the construction of a team. I know how Mark Pope played when he was coaching at BYU, and his teams hit a lot of threes, and they ran up and down the court.
Yeah, but see,
you know what I'm saying? And none of them got paid.
But yeah, he had that kind of team last year, but they could not compete with the upper echelon of athletic teams. And I mean, he said it. I'm like, I didn't make this up.
No, you're right.
He said, I've constructed this team that can defensively play with this type of modern up-tempo basketball. And at least up to this point, it's been a failure. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
No, it has. It may not be like that all year. I think Mark Pope's too good of a coach for this, for it not to work. But right now, he's got a lot of work to do.
Okay. Is he?
I do. I think he's a great coach.
Okay.
Man.
All right.
I mean nobody's going
to
put more effort into
in
coaching
career,
no.
so,
than him.
But he's young. Mm-hmm. He's been to two Sweet 16s, or he's been to one Sweet 16 in his career.
BYU and Utah Valley State should be different animals.
You know what I mean?
You're at Kentucky, and I think
– I know.
Like, roster construction needs to be something he needs to focus on. After last year and the issues that they had at point guard with the injuries, who was the guy that got hurt for y'all? Lamont Butler? Like, I feel like you kind of – you know how reliant your team is on point guard play. You got to go in a little bit more than just Jalen Lowe.
Well, hell – today they're talking about they need to go find somebody overseas.
Yeah, I'd be having an open gym.
I mean,
they got any of those? They got any of that sweet G League?
No, they mentioned the G League too. Of literally looking for someone in the G League.
Pat Kelsey's comments today. He just called out Kelvin Sampson and Tom Izzo.
I haven't heard this.
Yeah, he was just like, yeah. He's like, in this world where the game's ever changing, you have to adapt
because
not just sit around and whine about it. And
I didn't know that Sampson had said anything.
Sampson said something, and then he got called out because they were recruiting a G League.
Well,
guy.
I was gonna say, like, Sampson, that, and I love Sampson as a basketball coach, but I mean, we're not gonna get started on like the integrity of college basketball and talking about him.
Well,
Izzo, I can like. Izzo is great, but he's also old man yells at clouds.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I totally expect that.
All right, let me put a button on that. Here's the deal. I am obviously pulling for Kentucky to do well. I think Mark Pope's a great guy. I never said that he is. I know he's a good coach. I'm not sure if he's a great coach. That remains to be seen when you've only been to one Sweet 16 in your career. And it's a young career. So let's put it together, figure it out, and we've got tons of basketball left. And I hope that we're going to look back at this and laugh and be like, yeah, man, he sure as hell figured it out and this, that, and the other. There's some weird thing. There's some weird things going on.
I think it needs to start with him getting a PR coach.
Yeah. So,
because the way he's handling the media right now is not –
yeah,
well, it was awful last night.
Yeah. He wears his heart on his sleeve, and so does Kelsey. But I think Kelsey bites his lip a lot.
There's a time to do that, and there's a time not.
Right,
last night was far from.
Colin, let me tell you what last night, what Pope's post game comments. immediately reminded me of.
Showed up an hour late, by the way.
Yeah.
It was bad. It was rude.
It reminded me.
It was not professional.
It reminded me of Mike Davis at the end of his Indiana tenure, where he was saying crazy, weird stuff in press conferences after games. Now, not that it would get to the point. You guys probably don't remember this, but Mike Davis actually called in sick for a game. They were playing a Big Ten game against Iowa, and he like called the assistant coach and said, I'm not going to be there. But he would do things like that and say weird stuff because he was a hard on his sleeve guy. But he needed a coach, a media coach. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Patino missed a game for being sick when he was here at Louisville. So, I mean, that happens. But, like, how much notice did he give?
Well, no.
Like, this was right before the game?
Here was the thing. He was not in any way, shape, or form sick.
Okay.
He did not want to hear boos and things in the crowd.
He just didn't want to show up.
Yeah.
I got you.
But anyway, that's 30 minutes on two relatively disappointing.
Fred, I think these IU boys are just picking on us tonight. We're just talking about the most depressing shit ever between the two of us.
No.
Well, hell, we ain't even got to Alabama yet.
My football team's in shambles. Your basketball team's in shambles.
You hear me? We ain't even got to Alabama yet.
Oh, and God.
Oh, gee.
And,
better drink.
We are about to get to that, but first we are going to take this quick commercial timeout. Hopefully the algorithm figures out that this is where the commercial should go, and we'll be right back. So following up on depressing things that Fred wants to talk about, Fred, we got to start just we've spent a lot of time on the first two things.
We won't spend a lot of time.
We have
on
a
this.
Lot yet to get to, so let's just talk about quickly. Alabama's loss and where that puts them in the fight for a playoff.
I'm going to let you all talk about the playoff part. Let me get to the game. First play of the game, kickoff return for 60 yards. Next play, Bama, fumble. We got it back. Next play on set of downs, interception for a touchdown, Oklahoma. Untouched all of the first quarter. That's a bad start. Okay. And you know what?
Not ideal.
And you know what? We've been talking about this ever since two games ago that we've been. Remember how I was saying that we had that, all these games, Tuna, where we had that awesome drive and wasted a lot of clock and ended up winning the game and it looked like we played a great game, but we literally ran the clock out, and the game was closer than you thought. So we had one, we had two, we had three. This is against Vandy, Missouri. Remember those games? And everyone's like, hey, Bama's beating all these great teams. But what some people and me and other people weren't maybe necessarily paying attention to is, this is getting thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner. And then the LSU game. Well, what was the game before LSU? Help me out.
That was South Carolina.
South Carolina game happens. And they come out like gangbusters, which they did against Texas A&M as well. They can be a legit team.
Three-quarter beamer, man.
But we lucked out on that one. Then the LSU game happens. Ugly. We couldn't get anything done. And then what happens? There's two coordinators that drive Bama crazy. One is Gus Malzahn on offense, wherever he's at. And the other one is Venables on defense. He's done it at Clemson. He's beaten us a couple times. He's beaten us at Oklahoma. And now he's calling his own plays on defense this year. They're looking good. And I knew he was going to give us fits. I knew he was going to blitz. That's what he does. But what he...
I hear you, Nostradamus.
Yeah, well, what he does do is he blitzes on one side or blitzes, and or he just the way he works.
They disguise
his,
it really well.
Disguise like yeah. Minnesota Vikings. What mm-hmm. his head coach comes to mind?
Yeah.
Well, I have three people on one side playing man to man, and the DBs, and the other three are playing zone. Saban used to do that. Bama did. Kirby does that sometimes. But no one blitzed as much as he did. And when you start coming in there, and I knew when Mateer had that quarterback run that looked epic that we were in trouble. We don't have good special teams right now. I just the sack fumbles. When our quarterback starts looking at the sidelines all the time, I can tell you we're in trouble. I think people now follow me on that, and they know when Simpson's looking at the sidelines a bunch, and he had to do it in this game because Venables had him had us confused. That normal, and then what happens, Tuna? We have our normal drive in the fourth quarter. Here it is. Here's that Bama drive. They're going to come down the field, kick a field goal, and tie it up, or they're going to score a touchdown. Well, the defensive line of Oklahoma was just too good. They were better than the Gamecocks. And, you know, that play on fourth down to try to move the chains to get into field goal range was absolutely horrible. And here we are with a loss. And, you know, I've never seen a Bama game end like that. Rarely has Bama lost at home where you just run out of downs. I've never seen anything like that. Usually it's a missed kick or something. It doesn't happen very often, yep. So there ain't that many of them. But it just simmered down to nothing. Like, you're done on the 40-yard line. It's over. So, you know, I want to hear what y'all have to say because you all saw the CFP. I didn't. And I know that Bama moved to 10th, and I looked at it, and I was like, oh, okay, whatever. I knew that we could still survive with that loss, but now it gets tight. But why? I guess everyone's fired up because Notre Dame passed us. I don't know. That I don't get it. I think Bama's fine at 10th. In the 10th spot, we just got to beat Auburn and go.
That's the cut line. Right below them is the cut line.
So we have to beat Auburn, and we're in. That's the way I see it.
Yep.
And we'll talk about all the scenarios after that. But right now, we're just not playing good.
You're one-dimensional.
We're one-dimensional. We have no running game. We're throwing the ball down the field. Tuna, where's the jet sweeps? Where's the slants? If someone's blitzing, why isn't a wide receiver in that spot when they're coming at you? It's all deep balls.
Don't quote me on this, but I'm not sure if Bama has, in conference play, ran for over 200 yards
in
one game.
No, they have not. They have not.
That's not going to work in the playoffs.
Number two, but, I mean,
but that's what we do. That's our culture. That's, like,
is that Kalen DeBoer's culture?
No, it's Wes. It's Ryan Grubbs. Getting too cute with his West Coast defense. When our tight end has been our best player the last two, three games, Quavis, we're in trouble. So, anyways, just too many deep balls. Let's get back to what Bear Bryant preaches. And I know that's saying, oh, you can't just start changing shit like that. Well, yes, we can. And we're going to have to because we're headed to Auburn. I proclaimed us losing that game. And here we go. That's it. Roll Tide. Good luck.
Well, there were a couple of other relatively interesting games. One I wanted to touch on really quick was one that I know we were following back and forth as it was happening. And South Carolina starts the game against Texas A&M, and they're
by
a little bit, and they're up by a little bit more than they're up. And then all of a sudden, somebody sends me a text and says, did you know that Texas A&M is behind, was it 30-3? And I said, that's crazy. And I also thought, and I'm such a coward, I didn't do it.
You didn't live bet it.
I wanted to live bet the money line so bad for A&M, and I couldn't force myself to do it.
I was out fishing and didn't even know, like, the score.
Well,
what
I was
happening,
watching it, and I can't believe I didn't do it. I didn't even think to do it.
I would have jumped on A&M probably four times if
someone,
I was sitting in front of the TV.
Why didn't text me?
I wanted, and I was texting some guys on my tailgate that I tailgate with at the IU games, and I was like, man, what do you think, you know? And one guy was like, well, yeah, I already did it. And I was like, ah, boy, that'd be a big hit. And I didn't do it. And then I kept seeing them inch closer and closer and closer. And at some point, it became inevitable. And by the time I decided I was going to do it, it wasn't even worth doing anymore. So, that was A&M's, like, gut check game, right?
Yeah. Well, they've had a few close games and have proved that they can come back and win.
Yeah.
So
they make big plays when they need to.
They're a legit one seed.
I completely agree with that, man.
Yep.
I think your one seed should be lined out right now.
For sure.
I'm going to say it. I don't know if you guys agree or disagree with this. I think IU, regardless of Big 12 champion or Big 10 championship game, and Ohio State, those two are locked in.
Yes.
I think Texas Tech, and I think A&M.
A&M. I mean, there's no – and Georgia's just right there.
Georgia's right there. If Texas Tech was the falter or something happened, or say, you know, Ohio State, you guys blow Ohio State out by like 30 points. You've got to drop a team that loses that much. You know what I mean?
Right.
If there was a blowout in one of these conference championship games. But,
yeah, that's kind of, we were talking about that the other day also. And somebody said, well, you know, what happens if Indiana loses the Big Ten championship? Guy said,
doesn't change.
They're not going to penalize. I mean, now, if Ohio State wins 56-3,
bingo.
Then, you know, they could drop down a little bit. But they're not going to. They are not going to penalize a team that plays in a championship game.
No.
I just can't see that they
can. No, it sets a precedent going forward.
And then you just say, the hell with it. We don't want to play in the championship game.
Yeah.
Like, we're locked into where we're at, and we just want to stay there. So, we talked about Navy beat USF. Man, that was a crazy entertaining game. I had that on one of the multi views, and I was really happy for Navy. Like,
man,
they
just controlled the ball so much, and they just eat so much time off the clock with every single drive. Mm. They're just so tough to play against, man. And South Florida just had no answer. They could score.
Well, yeah, it was 41-38.
It was like every time Navy got the ball. Think about that for example, like 41-38 in a Navy game. You know, when they're eating 8 minutes on every drive.
I have seen Navy play this year, and they have not impressed me whatsoever.
Oh, well, man. Blake Horvath. What's the wide receiver, Henschel?
They beat dog teams 13-10 and stuff.
They have not been impressive.
I don't know. South Florida, in my opinion. I know that was a tough game. I get it. But South Florida, see ya.
None of these teams.
They had their chance. Like,
none of the AAC or the ACC wants to get in the playoffs.
I know.
Like, the minute it gets
close. North Texas does.
Maybe. But I don't know. The minute it gets close. I mean, hell, Tulane went down and got beat by 22 down at UTSA. You know what I mean?
I know.
What are we doing, guys?
I know.
And I think the committee has already made up their mind. They're putting the AAC champion in. Like, it doesn't matter what James Madison does, which I think is absolutely hilarious. And I love being the team that's keeping James Madison out of there.
They're all fighting for the Pop-Tart Bowl.
I mean, I've never seen James Madison start.
I don't know. Do they have another tough game? I had their schedule listed.
No, they don't have a tough game.
No.
Well, was there any other game that you guys really wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I want to talk about Pitt Notre Dame real quick.
Okay.
I
didn't watch a second of it.
The freshman quarterback got absolutely exposed. He looked like a true freshman scared.
A lot
for his
of people
life.
Lost money.
Yeah,
on that
he
game.
Came out, me included. He
And that's another reason why Notre Dame's up to 10. I mean, a lot of people had Notre Dame losing that game, and
they're taking care of business week in and week out.
They are. I think Georgia.
Boston College gave them probably the closest game they've had in a while.
Georgia, Notre Dame, and Utah, in my opinion, those three teams are surging up.
Yeah, the fact is,
I'm not talking about IU and Ohio State. They're like there.
I think Utah's going to get screwed out of this.
Yeah, but they moved them up.
They're up. But
showed them some love.
They're below the cut line. Like, the only way they get in is if Alabama loses to Auburn.
Right.
Or, you know, something like that. And it kind of sucks because they're not going to get to play in the Big 12 championship
Texas
game, right?
A&M can
I don't believe so.
No, I think it's going to be BYU and Texas
A&M. Texas A&M can still lose, too.
Yeah, no, they can, but they're still going to be in the playoffs.
What if Texas A&M and Bama both lose? Then you got a total mess.
Well, no,
then that'd open it up for Oklahoma, right?
Well,
I mean.
But Georgia would move up to a one seed if Bama loses.
I'm just saying the floodgates will open.
Or if A&M loses.
The floodgates will open in the SEC.
Well, I think the floodgates have already kind of been open in that league, man.
They're the most open they've been in quite some time, at the very least.
I mean, it's right there. And Texas is like, you can't really ignore them. You know what I mean? And it's like.
Well, I think Texas is out.
I don't think they're
Texas and Tennessee are done.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're done.
Tennessee's been.
Anyone with three losses, in my opinion, is
I love the fact that the committee ranks Miami so high, and I call that Operation Irish Shield.
That's what it is.
It's the only way they can keep Notre Dame so high is if they keep moving up
Miami.
And all
these Miami fans are so fired up. I don't understand why they're so fired up.
Well, what are they going to do when they get in the playoffs? We got Mario Cristobal in a playoff atmosphere. What's that going to be like? Like that? You just go to the.
I'll tell you a team that's
Bowl Miami.
Well, I guess if we're gonna go through some games.
Well,
so
let's talk.
I think
about
the USC Iowa game was a. Hell of a game, and USC is a team that is surging up.
Well, they have an opportunity this weekend.
Right.
They play Oregon.
That was a great win against Iowa, dude.
It was
a fun game.
Handily.
Well, no, it was tight. I mean, it was.
Didn't they end up winning by like 12 or 14? I mean, I know what you're saying.
I think they didn't blow them out. I think they won
10?
By 5, didn't they? I don't remember. It was.
I don't think it was by 2 touchdowns.
They were losing for a lot of that game. Let me look.
It was very back and forth. USC did come back.
USC won 26-21.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah, it was like Iowa covered, and they were winning.
Well, they did cover.
I think up until the middle of the fourth quarter they were winning. But that was a good game. Now, I wanted to talk.
Let's not talk about BYU.
Well.
No, I'm just saying, don't forget, they're 9-1.
Yeah, and they.
Well, they're going to play for a Big 12 championship.
Right, they'll have their chance.
They came back and with reckless abandon. And
they have
dominated.
An opportunity to win their league. I wanted to talk about all this noise. Ole Miss is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're sixth in the latest.
Yeah, we
got to
talk about this.
So I wanted to talk about all this noise with their head coach and Lane Kiffin seemingly being the lead candidate for every open job in the SEC and or the NFL. The
hard rumors coming out today about Florida.
Yeah. Because they
hard rumors.
Well, it was set for John Summerall to interview. He was supposed to interview, and then the Florida came out and announced that interview has been canceled. But it may be Summerall just saying, "I'm going to Auburn."
Right.
That's what I think.
Dinkenschnitz decide to stay at Missouri today? I saw his presser.
I haven't.
A lot
heard
of people
about that.
Have
I'm
him
sure
going to Penn State.
I haven't
anyway,
heard anything.
I don't think
about
he
that.
Said anything.
But I did know that Summerall. They had said he was going to have this meeting with them, and then within 45 minutes, Florida said, "We're not doing it," and then his agent came out and said he's officially removed his name from consideration to the Florida job, and I think the assumption is that Auburn is where he wants to go, and they've probably
told
him.
His wife went to school there, and he played.
He's from Alabama. Yeah. He coached at Troy. Mm-hmm. So,
well, come on down there, Summerall.
That all makes sense.
But I swear, I thought that
if he goes down there, buddy, I'm worried.
I thought NC State's. I thought the defensive coordinator might just stay there. What's his name?
Who?
From NC State?
I mean, no. Hold on a minute.
Did I hear that wrong?
No, the defensive coordinator at Auburn, I thought that they would move him up to head coach.
Oh, no. They're bringing in fresh blood.
What's his name? Double D.
Derek Dooley.
No,
Durkin. DJ Durkin.
Who is a good defensive coordinator.
Yeah, but he's got baggage.
I think Auburn hires
baggage.
I think Auburn just wants fresh blood.
Yeah.
And they want Summerall.
But so what I was getting at is you have a team that is certainly squarely in the mix of the playoffs and possibly making a run in the playoffs. But
for
their coach, seemingly, you know, his family flying to different campuses and all these rumors and everything. At what point, if you're Ole Miss, do you tell him you make this decision by X date?
Wait a minute. I thought that already came out.
Came on McAfee yesterday and said that absolutely did not happen.
Right.
He just did yoga with the athletic director
right
before he
went on. So you're
saying
that the athletic director, the president, did not say you have until Saturday.
That's what he said.
Yeah, that's what he said. Now, whether you believe anything he says or not, that's on you. I don't know. I don't know what to believe. I'm going to say this. If I had to bet money on where Lane Kiffin's going to be next year, I'd say Ole Miss. I think he just really likes to flirt. And I think he wants to make sure that all those donors remember, hey, I'm here, I like being here, but all these guys want me, and they're going to continue to want me, so you need to give me a reason to stay here. I think that's all this is.
Yeah, but why would you let all that enter your locker room and have your team? And you're purring like a 57 Chevy right now.
Here's the thing.
I'm leaving then. If he's leaving, I'm leaving.
Because the players are like this now. They're hired mercenaries for 1 year season. They're in that locker room for this season, and they know they've got a shot to do something special.
Okay.
So they're going to play for each other. I mean, even he was just joking with the running back earlier. You know, like everything's just
– Yeah.
I think this is all just theatrics.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. I just
he loves to egg it on a little bit.
He does.
To a certain degree, then he'll find, like, on McAfee, he loved all that.
He's a flirt, dude. The guy will be married to the best woman in the world. He's still going to go out to the bar and flirt with everybody that'll listen to him. Like, that's what he does. This is Lane Kiffin. This is nothing new, nothing special. Like, I don't know. I don't know who LSU's going to get after this. This leaves something wide open, and I don't really know where they go here. What are you hearing, Fred, about like possible candidates for that job? Because I think
for
it's gonna,
Ole Miss's job.
No. I think for LSU. If Kiffin stays put,
I am not 100% sure. I have not heard one name to LSU.
Mm.
What have you? I mean, do you have any?
The only two names that I heard linked to that job were Summerall from, you know,
mm-hmm.
leaving Tulane and going there, and then Lane Kiffin. But I don't think either of those are going to happen. Well, I may be way wrong on the Kiffin thing. He may be coaching LSU next year. But I think LSU's going to just have a guy that we just don't even see coming, and they're going to hire him. No, dude, I would love that. And I think LSU would love it for about a year.
Bryant Haynes.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what I can – you think that they – are they really after a huge name, or do you think they would go after a hot shot young coach?
I don't know what coaches
– like that's in – who like
just know the governor's gonna be on your ass.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you're a coach, do you want to walk into that situation where you got the governor controlling like your buyout moving forward?
Brand new athletic director, head coach at
North Texas or somewhere. Yes.
Well, yeah, that's different. But like,
but would they go to someone?
I don't
like
think
that?
They would. I think they'd go.
I mean,
for an established guy.
Because, dude, let's be real. This IU hire has a lot of ADs thinking. It really does.
There's been a lot of whiffs on guys like that too. You know what I mean? That have been great at the lower level.
Sig is like the unicorn that makes everybody believe that it's possible.
Yeah, you can't.
It's not normal.
You can't hire everybody thinking you're getting the next Cignetti. Like,
what about your boy Rhett
Lashley? I've heard kind of has Arkansas going. I think he played at Arkansas.
Oh, really?
I think so. I did not know that. I think him and Jerry Jones have like a great relationship with each other.
And Rhett Lashley sounds like the coach at Arkansas.
Yeah. He really
does. That sounds to me like the head coach of the Razorbacks, Rhett Lashley.
See, I think it sounds like an SMU coach.
This thing could be right on your tiptoes, Tuna.
What?
You don't think that they can... I mean,
what?
Jeff Prohm is still a hot name out there. I'm not kidding.
He ain't going nowhere.
I always think Jeff Prohm would only go one place, and that's Notre Dame.
I agree with that.
Because his dad's got all the ties with the Golden Boy and all that.
If he leaves Louisville, it's going to be for the NFL or Notre Dame.
Right.
That's how it should be.
You know how it should be.
And this is no joke, and Colin's probably heard this. Mm-hmm. There was a rumor that the Giants had put out initial feelers gauging Jeff Brom's interest in the Giants job. Had you heard that?
No. I had.
Okay.
I wouldn't blame him at all. LSU.
Going up there with the young guys they've got up there, that's a great, attractive job.
I can see the LSU coach coming from the NFL. To be honest with you, somehow, some way.
Man, that's a dangerous game.
It is.
Joe Brady would maybe be the only one.
Yeah, but they I think say he's never going to leave, and he's having his own problems with Buffalo right now,
to be honest with you. Their defense. Their offense is still doing
good.
If you're Kiffin, if you're Brady, do you want to go ahead and sign up to go down to LSU? And I get it, it's a head coaching job, but day one, have all that baggage on you to accept that job? I don't know. Like, Kiffin... There's no reason for him at Ole Miss to leave LSU whenever he's got it made right now.
Well, I mean, there's one big reason, and I know he says it's not about money or whatever.
$16 million a year.
LSU could offer him like $15-16 million a year.
I think they said they'd put him up there with Kirby Smart money.
He's not turning that down.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I mean, if Ole Miss offers him 12, you know what I mean?
That might be.
Like, all these SEC schools have money now to pay for a coach.
Do we not think that Ole Miss would match whatever LSU does?
I don't think they'll match 15 or 16.
No.
But I think they could go 12 easily. Because the television contracts alone that these SEC schools are getting are just absurd. So, like, Vanderbilt and Kentucky and all of them have money to spend on coaches now. Like, more so than a lot of other places. Big Ten as well. But I don't know. Man, I could see Drinkwitz going to LSU, and I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd hire him, but they went and hired years ago.
Who does Kirby have
Les
on
Miles
his coaching staff?
Les Miles from Oklahoma State.
Doesn't Kirby have someone on his coaching staff that's ready to roll out of there like they always do?
What about your boy in Oregon? Like, would he entertain LSU at all?
You never know, but
Dan Lanning?
You mean
now Will Stein? Now Will Stein would be an interesting.
I'm just saying, if I was the head coach at Oregon, I would leave to go to LSU.
Right. He wants to get in there,
but I've also heard that he number one loves it there, and number two, you want to talk about a place with basically unlimited resources. At least while Phil Knight is still alive.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing about Oregon. They have unlimited resources, but, like, it doesn't seem like other schools seem to outdo them on talent. You know what I mean? Like, football-wise, LSU is getting – I understand Oregon's getting better – or, you know, good players, but LSU and a lot of these schools are still outdoing Oregon.
Are they, though?
Yeah. They're not getting – yeah, skill positions, some guys come through there. I still think better skill positions are going other places. What physicality has Oregon showed You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, and then that could be a...
You're not going to... I don't think you're going to win a national championship unless you're physical. And I don't think that you can get physical guys on the West Coast like that.
That very well might be true.
I think the physicality is in the Midwest, near Pennsylvania, Ohio's, Michigan's, and then down in the South, and then some in Texas. But California ball's played different. So I don't know. I mean, you can only get so many...
What about a rando? Well, they take Polynesian a rant. They're going to get someone bigger than Aranda.
Aranda ain't, yeah. I mean,
he ain't going to go. But Jesus, he's still decent at Baylor. But no, they
not
wouldn't.
Good
I'm
enough
just
for
talking
that.
About connections. But
yeah.
we could continue.
Well, and
forever.
I mean, I didn't really want this to turn into a hot coaching hot board. What I wanted
Hell,
to turn this
well.
Into was at what point does Ole Miss make him make a decision publicly? Mm-hmm. Or do they just say, you know, we're just going to wait till the end of the season see what happens.
I don't know, but all I know is you have an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator that are obviously the players love. Mm. Now, let's not forget, I am a expert on this because I had Lane Kiffin screw up my championship. Drink! And that is a fact. That Lane Kiffin was Bama's offensive coordinator, and he damn kicked ass. He got an opportunity to be where he is now, out of the doldrums of hell, and he decides that he can't just finish the year out, the last two games, with Saban like Sark did a year later, and it was going to Texas, and Kiffin's going to Florida International, where the shit he went, and he just couldn't get it done. And 4 days before a national championship, Saban fires him and says, good riddance, get the hell out of here. And it cost us a championship, in my opinion. We lost by 3 points to Clemson.
Yeah.
So I think anything, he is capable of anything.
I think the point what Travis was kind of wanting to get to was what a guy not coach in the playoff so he could get started with his team.
Right.
And I think you got to look at John Summerall with this. If Tulane gets in there, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I think to piggyback off that, it's not a question necessarily of how long is Ole Miss going to wait. Might be how long is LSU and Florida going to wait for Kiffin to make a decision.
Yeah, I think.
I don't think there's many candidates for him.
I think LSU will say, all right, we'll take you after.
This is all uncharted territory. It totally is.
I don't think that he's going to not coach. I understand the transfer portal's open when the playoffs is going on and you need to start recruiting for your new team. You need to, you know, get started at work. But I just don't see how. Like, you put your heart and soul into a chance to win a national championship. You're gonna see it through.
Yeah, you can't leave before the playoff.
I think
even
he's
starts.
Staying.
I do too. I think he's staying. Summerall, I think, is the biggest question of whether or not he's going to coach Tulane if they make the playoffs, because he's going to have to get started at Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he knows that we're not going to win a national championship. Maybe that's why he's going out and trying to lose games. I don't know. So he doesn't have to make that decision, because you have to let those kids down, man. That's the rough part.
Well, yeah, and I mean, those guys, like, to them at their level, making it to the playoff is the thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. They don't have any illusion that they're going to beat a Ohio State or an IU or really anybody else in that. But getting there is the. I mean, that's a tremendous reward in and of itself. You say. Of all places, freaking Tulane.
Yeah.
Man, we made the final 12.
Yeah.
And all these other teams didn't.
Yep.
Like, that's a hell of a deal. And I would like to think that the coach would have an appreciation for that. And I think that he would.
I do too. I mean, Summerall seems like that kind of guy. I think he would just – because you are getting a late start. You're missing a lot of guys that early. And I get it, man, with the classes, you have to have the transfer portal when it is, but God, the timing just couldn't be worse.
But if you're Summerall, you're not going to be expected to go out and win 11 games in your first year.
I don't know, man. Them Auburn fans are nuts.
Those people are crazy, dude.
I think Brett Bielema will be great at LSU.
They won't let him back in the SEC.
No, we can't have Tubby go down there. No.
Arkansas already played
that
game.
That's what UK's missing is Tubby.
Oh, jeez.
Greatest winner ever.
Let's talk about a little bit about, I mean, some of these games this weekend.
We got good ones.
Well, I'm not even going to start with that. I'll do that.
He's going to say SEC ain't playing nobody.
I'll do that one I mean, honestly, as I'm looking down, that there's the USC Oregon game.
Oh, I sent you the text on all the good ones. There's about seven.
Is big Oklahoma and Missouri, I guess.
Yeah. That's a huge game. That's a big game.
Mm-hmm. It's a huge game.
Yeah. But
if Oklahoma loses, they're out.
I know it doesn't mean anything, but this is an old Southwest rivalry with, you know, Texas and Arkansas. I think that's – those two teams hate each other. I know
you're right.
TCU at Houston, Pittsburgh at Georgia Tech. That could have playoff implications.
Oh, that's definitely a big game.
USC, Oregon.
Let's hit them. Let's hit on a few.
BYU going into Cincinnati.
BYU-Cincy's a big game.
Man, we've talked about it. Last week was a classic Satterfield game.
Yeah.
A big game, meant a lot. They got up, and I knew – I mean, I don't know what – because I talk about it on this program all the time. Why don't I listen to my inner voice and go, bet like hell against UC. There's no way they're in. There is a zero – I'm going to say this – there is a 0% chance that Cincinnati wins this game. 0.00.
Dude, I'll tell you what. If I didn't have a lot going on, I'd go to Cincy and watch this game. Watch them Mormons come into town and roll.
And I mean,
I didn't have to work Sunday, I'd think about doing it because Louisville's playing up at Cincinnati Friday.
I know they have a game.
Nice little double dipper.
It would be.
It is a night game. It's on national freaking television.
It's on Fox.
Yeah. So Big Fox
BYU
at 8 o'clock.
Will clinch, I believe, if they win this,
Nippert
right?
Nippert Stadium's really kind of a cool stadium.
Well, especially now that they've redone it.
Yeah.
And I have nothing but, I don't even know what they call it now, but I've gone to a billion games at the Shoemaker Center. I've been to three or four football games at Nippert. I think the campus is cool, but I do not trust UC. I don't trust Satterfield.
Nope.
It will not shock me if at one point in this game, Cincinnati is ahead by double digits. And at that point, I promise you, I am getting on my FanDuel and betting the money line as heavy as I can that they will lose.
Well, so we're all on BYU on that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. We get Cincy.
The Tennessee Florida game doesn't have any.
I don't even want to watch that one.
No, so, it doesn't mean anything.
Let's talk about this Missouri game, this Missouri Oklahoma game. So if Oklahoma loses, they're out. I mean, the three losses, there's some pressure on this. And a 6-3 Missouri team is coming in here. They could surprise Oklahoma, but Oklahoma should win this game on national television, ABC.
Do we know the status of Bo Crabula? Is he going to play this weekend?
I'm actually looking at that now.
Louisville SMU game is a big game.
No, it's not.
Well, it really is. You all have – last time I checked, y'all had two losses.
Well, check again because we got three.
Three. Sorry.
Prabula,
I'm sorry. I'm at three.
Prabula is not expected to start.
Okay.
That's
not good.
They expect Matt Zollers.
Check again.
Zollers. to start, but of course, I mean, that could be gamesmanship too.
He
will dress, he will be available, mm-hmm. but they do not officially expect him to start.
Okay. I like for Drink to make a game
out
of this,
man. Just do something. Yeah, dude. Well, like, of course, you know I'm pulling for him.
Yeah, so. I'd love to see Missouri go get this win.
But I can't believe the spread's only 7.5 with them on the road and him being
I don't know, dude. I think that's a pretty good size spread.
Can Oklahoma come – obviously, some of that spread is them coming off a huge win, huge upset. And so they're saying there's going to be a letdown against a good – football team with a great rusher.
I think Drink gets in his bag on this one and really like
let's see
plays
what,
hell
let's
with
see
Venables.
What Venables.
I bet you're
going to
see a lot of tricks.
Can Venables
and weird
stop
stuff?
the run instead of rushing the quarterback?
Well, and that's the thing. I think they're going to do weird stuff to get Ahmed Hardy yardage, and it's going to be a little gimmicky, but it's going to be fun
to
watch.
It's
going to
work.
Do you want to talk about Louisville at all or no?
I mean, I think we did earlier. I don't know what to say in this game. I mean, we may win, we may lose.
I think SMU's hot. I hate to tell you, but I'll be taking SMU.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm sorry,
that
but
game don't mean anything. No,
it doesn't really mean that an SMU.
We
got
to
really
win to have a better shot
hard
at the Pop-Tart Bowl,
right? Now there is a game of local interest that could possibly have a playoff implication, and that is UK. Rolling into Nashville. And facing Clark Lee and Diego Pavia.
Kentucky is hot right now.
Kentucky's playing better.
Snips is a cockroach, man. You cannot kill him.
Buddy, that is the game they've been waiting for right there is to, like, he's been pumped up. They almost took – if you really look at UK's schedule, they almost beat Ole Miss. They almost beat Texas. They did choke against Auburn. They came out so flat. That's the Plains. That's what happens there.
They won down there.
But that's what I'm saying. They came out flat and won on the Plains. You know what? Like, forget UK basketball season. Stoops is kind of what if? I mean, they can still go bowling here and knock Vandy out of the playoffs.
If they beat Louisville, which they have a really good chance of doing.
Well, hell, but if they knock Vandy out of the playoffs, then they're really scary.
What if I told you by Thanksgiving weekend, Mark Stoops would be more popular than Mark Pope?
I know. I know. It's insane.
Oh, I love sports. That
there's more positive vibes for UK football right now. Now, I am surprised they're getting 9.
I think there's hope for the future because Cutter Bowley actually looks really good.
Yeah.
And I'll
and
tell
the
you,
running back.
Well, Kendrick Law, like, if he's got somebody to throw the ball to him, he actually is pretty good, dude. Like,
I know.
It's like, all right.
So this Kentucky game, you're right, Travis, has really popped up to be an interesting. And CBS, of course, or ESPN has been. It's a 3:30 primetime game.
And you know, as always, now it won't be quite as exaggerated as it has been. And I've been to a bunch of these games at Vanderbilt, a bunch of the Kentucky Vandy games, and it was usually like 70-30 blue.
And it's tight. Those games have been tight.
It won't be like that this year to the extent that it has in the past. I think Vanderbilt will win. They should win. But I look for it to be a pretty close game and to be entertaining and late into the fourth quarter.
I'm going to have some Cat fans at my house ready to go for this one Saturday. I'm going to tell you that right now. I think they're going to come out of the woodwork to try to get this win.
Well, I wish you all good luck.
Hey, by the way, real quick while we're in the state of Kentucky – could the Toppers at 7-2 pull off the upset of a faltering LSU team? You're going to the game, Trav. Well, you all want to talk about this at the end, don't you?
No.
We can talk about it now.
Because Bama don't play, or Bama ain't playing nobody, so let's talk about Charles'
game.
Well,
I mean, it's almost the end of the show.
What do you all think?
So, Colin and I are – of course, our friend Johnny works for the football program at LSU, and my wife's nephew is a student manager for the Western Kentucky team. And since Indiana was on a bye week, and I've been wanting to go to an LSU game for a long time since Johnny's been there, figured this would be a good opportunity. So, Colin, that's why Colin is here. We're leaving tomorrow. Freddie, we are leaving tomorrow afternoon. We're heading straight to Tuscaloosa.
We're going. Hey, I love it, dude. I'm going to Tuscaloosa. Some Woodrow's and Archibald's barbecue. Mm-hmm.
I've never been to Tuscaloosa. I thought this would be a good opportunity, dude, when I saw it's right on the way.
That's so cool.
So we're going to stay right there in the shadow of Bryant-Denny Stadium.
Y'all going to walk around anywhere down there?
I'm sure we will.
Okay.
I think we will.
Got to go.
It's a really neat campus.
Yeah, Denny Chimes, and you got to go, like, at least look at the quad where
the president's
and imagine
mansion.
All the tailgating with chandeliers. And
we'll be doing
insane.
All that.
Yeah, and the Denny Chimes is really cool because all the stepping stones are Bama greats, captains, all the way around it. With their footprint on their other cleat print. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then the sorority houses look like Rodeo Drive. I mean, you know, it's
we might
insane.
Skip that part.
Fraternity Row is really neat, it's crazy. It's historic looking.
But the main thing is all the statue of the legendary coaches as you enter.
Right. So we're going to do that, and then Friday we're driving up to Baton Rouge, and then going to the game Saturday. As far as the game goes.
You have your pimp suits ready?
We're going to go to the –
Your LSU pimp?
No. But we are going to go to the bookstore because Johnny graciously gotten us tickets and sideline passes. And so
freaking awesome, man.
So – We'll be wearing an LSU shirt of some sort, you know. But as far as the game goes, I believe that Western can score points because Western can score points.
Of course.
I believe that.
Oh, my God. LSU is not good right now.
But here's what happens, Fred, and you know this. Even bad or not really good SEC or Big Ten teams, when they play a good team like Western is at their level, at some point in the game, you just get
depth
out.
Gets you.
You get out-athleted from a depth standpoint.
And depth, you just get worn out.
You get worn down.
Yeah.
That's what I expect in this game. But I think there will be some points scored, and I think for at least a little bit, there might be some murmurs in the stadium of, man, we could maybe lose this game.
Is Nussmeier starting?
I'd imagine.
Because I'm not sure if he's going to start. I know this new coach that's there does not like him.
Yeah,
I've seen them argue on the sidelines when I was at the Bama LSU game, and then they showed it on footage of it. He benched him and put the other quarterback in, who is pretty good.
That is true.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. I'll be honest with you. If Nussmeier's the quarterback, I think Western could win the game. If he's not and the other guy is, I don't think he had a chance.
What is – I'm looking. I'm going to see what's the spread on that.
22.
Or 21 and a half.
21 and a half.
Oh, my God. I didn't – Did you know it was a night game?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know it was a night game.
Oh, it's dude, it's going to be awesome.
Oh, my God.
It's a 7:30 game.
I thought it was
full
noon.
Experience.
No.
Oh, that just made my evening. I thought it was like a nooner.
Dude, it's going
to
be awesome.
Oh, my gosh. We get to
You get to hear the loud, the noise.
And so I also want to.
Hell, it's probably homecoming.
I want to thank Josh and Haley for hooking me up with recommendations of all the places that we've got to hit down there in Baton Rouge. I'm very much looking forward to it. Should be.
Yeah, he's like, now you're saying we're going to upset you. You're going to upset us after we.
No, I am not saying that. That was Freddie. That was not me. I think LSU will end up, I don't know that they'll cover, but I think they will win relatively comfortably in the
That's cool quarter. That Johnny be there. It'd be cool if his parents were there, too, to see that. That's awesome.
We're sitting with his dad.
Oh, nice. Yep. Awesome. Yep. Cool.
Colin and I and Dan will all be sitting together right. for the game. So.
Great, great.
So that should be really cool.
That's going to be a blast. Man, man.
Any other games? What other games have we not touched on that mean something?
Nothing. Who's North Texas playing?
North Texas plays a Rice team that is 5-5 at Rice. Yeah. This could be, you know what? Every other group of five team has choked on this game. Let's see what the Mean Green have to offer.
Does Rice still play their home games? Does the building exist? Do they still play in the original Cotton Bowl?
I don't think so. They have a small university. It's in Houston, right? Rice?
Didn't Rice
Or
used
close
to play their
to
home
it.
Games
close
in the Cotton
it.
Bowl?
I don't think so because it's in Houston, right? Wait, are you thinking of somebody else?
What college team used to play their home games at the
Was it SMU?
Old Cotton Bowl. I'm going to look this up.
It's Rice is in Houston. I doubt they went to Dallas.
No.
Was it SMU maybe? I don't know, but
now don't. Okay, what? Well, while we're looking that up, don't forget Missouri State at 6-3 at Kennesaw State is going to be a battle for the championship
Kennesaw
of that conference.
Had a bad week. Last
yeah, they
week.
Did.
Yeah, I think they rebounded.
They did.
This
and
week,
by the way, Missouri State covered, so I hit on that one. And now they're coming in at 2:00 to Kennesaw State.
The old fighting Petrinos.
Yes. And what about Washington State at James Madison? This could be the team that upsets James Madison.
James Madison's like, what, a 13.5 point favorite?
They are,
yes, they
but
are.
I can see Washington State coming there and beating them.
I don't know.
Then it's just over.
I think they should. I don't know.
They should beat them.
Screw JMU.
By the way, it was SMU and the Cowboys played there. Before they built the original Texas
Before
Stadium.
Before the Ewings gave them all
yes,
the money.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to talk about one more game, Travis, and that's on Friday night at 10:30. I'm going to be popping. It's going to be raining here in Louisville, but the Garage Bar will be rocking. I'm going to have Lay's everywhere. Oh, we're going to have zombies. And Hawaii at 7-3 is at a 7-2 UNLV team. Who also has a shot at that group of five? Outside, very close. They have two
honestly,
losses.
Honestly, if they beat Hawaii, they could.
Yeah. They could move up to 8-2.
I think James Madison would jump there.
But that is going to be a fun game Friday night at 10:30. So I just wanted to hit on that one.
Well, Colin and I could possibly be at the sports book at La, whatever that casino is that we're staying at.
And don't forget, Houston is 8-2. At home, coming off a bye, and they're playing. They're playing for the Big 12 championship. Don't forget them. And I know BYU. If BYU loses, I'm trying to think.
A lot of things have to happen.
But if they beat TCU, they only have two losses. So beware.
But I think Utah would get in over them, and then you also basically have Texas Tech
and Utah beat them,
BYU.
But they beat one of them too. They beat
Texas Tech destroyed
Houston.
Utah.
Okay, but Houston may have beaten
Texas Tech's only loss was what? Was it to BYU when Morton was out?
We talked about this on the show like two. Yes, it was when their quarterback was hurt.
Was it Arizona State?
It might have.
I think
been.
It was Arizona State.
Yeah.
So what do y'all think about Sam Levitt entering the transfer portal?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
I did not know that.
Going to Louisville.
One could only dream.
Arizona State.
We are reaching here the end of the program tonight. And since we are in the downstairs pub, and I am your de facto bartender for this evening, I'm going to go ahead and call last call and get our picks going. And we're going to start with Tuna.
All right, real quick, on last call, I feel like, Travis, you and I have a big game Sunday. The Indianapolis Colts are rolling into Arrowhead Stadium in a I didn't think I'd say this at this point in the season, a 100% must win for Kansas City.
Yeah.
There are 7 games left.
It is.
We have to get this, and I am scared for my life because the Colts are real deal. But that's going to be a great game. Unfortunately, I'm going to be at work and won't get to see it, and if the internet issues continue, won't have a clue what's going on while I'm working.
Colin and we talked about it when he got here tonight. We're going to be driving. Can I help you?
I'm sorry. I had notes for last call, and I left them at home.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Well, can you not expound out loud?
Sorry.
Yeah, it sounded like you were wrestling with yourself, dude. I didn't know what was happening.
But Colin and I are going to be in the car. I said, well, I'll be listening to that on the XM Radio, which is kind of unfortunate because that is one of the biggest regular season Colts games in a long time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that should be fun.
Must win, man. And then, all right, I'm going to get to my picks. All right. I'm going to take Arizona -7 at home versus Baylor. What's wrong?
Oh, good. We think alike.
Oh. Mm-hmm. I'm taking Houston to cover the 1.5 against TCU. I'm taking Central Florida.
Oh.
To cover the 14 in the bounce house with Oklahoma State coming to town.
Oh, yes. Wow. That's it?
That's it.
Wow. Boy, those are two bad teams.
They're bad teams, but Central Florida just plays different at home.
Yep.
Central Florida.
And I'm going to take Tennessee to cover the 4 against Florida. I'm going to take BYU to cover the 2.5 against Cincinnati.
Yeah.
All right, Fred, I know that you're
so frustrated because I actually finally had many things to offer on a round.
You lost a necklace.
Call. I took them off my goals, weighing me down.
Okay.
I'm totally bummed because I can't remember what it was. That's why I wrote them down. So I'm so bummed that I don't have any last call.
I'll sell you mine.
Except saying that, hey, the USA soccer team is starting to play better. 5-1 victory over Uruguay. I'm sure Uruguay didn't have all their players, but I know that 8 major players for the USA weren't playing.
It was the USA's, like, C team. It was a bunch of MLS dudes.
But my point is the USA needs to have everybody playing together all the time, and I don't know how to get that to happen, but it has to happen a lot. I don't know what else to say about that, but every game that they all play together is a must this close to World Cup. I don't know the red tape involved in all that. I'm gonna look into it and find out why they're not all playing together all the time. I'm just going to go to my picks and maybe something will come to me on last call, but I'm going
to go. Let's just go to your picks.
All right.
Let's just go to your picks.
Okay. Let's go to Arizona. Tune already took the words out of my mouth, but I have won on Arizona 4 times. I didn't. I bet against them last week with Satterfield, and they won and bit me. So, Arizona is a really, really good team playing well right now. So, going Arizona -5 at home on TNT. Let's go with my third best favorite team, the UConn Huskies. Also a 7-3 independent team. The independent league's doing pretty good. That would be Notre Dame and UConn. UConn is 7-3 going to Florida Atlantic, 4-5. Let's go UConn -6.5. Well, something weird about that one. Okay, let's go to Eugene, Oregon. 8-1, USC, playing well. Dan Lanning, don't like you. I think your team's a pretender. You have the easiest schedule in the country, and I have you not in the playoff from the very beginning of the season. And I take USC getting, what is it, nine and a half. Nine and a half. Oh, sorry, all these spreads are two more. So Arizona's getting three, UConn's getting 4.5, and USC's getting 9.5. Let's go to Temple. At Temple, 5-5. Temple's not really a bad team.
They've actually played well the last couple weeks. I know it's weird for me to say that, but they're spicy
and
as hell.
God knows why the hell I'm taking Tulane after I was ready to take
them. I wouldn't touch this game.
Well, this is a must win for Tulane, so I'm going to black cat them, Tuna. Yeah, that's my plan. I am black cat.
UTSA was a must win.
The mean green of North Texas sitting here is going to black cat Tulane and take them at 7-3. If that's who the committee thinks is the best team to put in the freaking playoff, which I disagree on, that is Tulane minus 4.5. Or I think it is.
No.
It's
bigger than that.
6.5?
No, hold on. I don't know. It's going to take me forever to find that.
Go to your next pick, Fred.
Yeah.
7.5.
Seven and a half. Okay. Minus 7.5. And then, of course, I'm going to Houston, baby. Houston, 8-2. TCU's coming in. That's going to be a great game. And I'm taking Houston minus
1.5. Thank God some of
them. I don't look at spreads, dude. Just get it. Just win the goddamn game.
Well, just write them down, maybe.
That's not how betting works, though, Fred.
Well, I get it. But I alter all my spreads, so I don't ever go with the original.
Colin, give us your live in-studio picks.
I do not have any last call this week.
Pick us. Get some dirty games going on.
Oh, well, I got some dirty picks for you.
Bullshit Big Ten.
NC State.
I got some dirty picks for you. I almost took Northwestern. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, you did.
But we're going to start off with Georgia Tech, minus 2.5 versus Pitt. I think after last week, Pitt is done. We're going to go Missouri, like Tuna mentioned earlier. I think Drinkwitz is going to somehow, I don't know if he's going to pull off the win, but he's going to keep it close.
Okay.
If you're giving me a touchdown, I'm going to take it, plus 7.5. I'm going to take the Washington State JMU over 42.5.
Oh, that's a good pick.
I don't know how any defense is going to be played
over
that.
42, that's all it
42
is?
And
oh,
a
my
half.
God, I'm going to hammer that.
42.5. Got the Oklahoma State.
JMU's got a solid defense.
That is surprising.
Then we got Oklahoma State UCF under 48.5. I don't think Oklahoma State even scores. Out of whatever their team total is, take the under.
Okay.
And I knew that Trav wouldn't do this, but God damn it, I'm going to do it. Western Kentucky plus 21.5.
Yeah.
I might take a money line.
I like
go
it.
Tops. They just go down and beat them in a night game in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, the money line. No, you say money line? No,
I might.
Not.
I took them plus 21.5.
The money line.
Saturday night, I might take a money line.
Oh, I bet that's big.
We got a barn burner plus going on right back behind you guys.
Oh, yeah. Arizona, UConn.
All right, Tuna, I got some dirty, rotten games.
Attaboy.
I love it.
My first pick, I'm taking Ohio State to cover 31.5 at home against Rutgers.
Okay. Rutgers has fallen off the map.
I am also taking USC to cover the 9.5. At Oregon.
There you go.
I am taking BYU to cover the 2.5 against Cincinnati.
Yes.
A lot of interchangeable parts in our bets this week.
I am taking.
I'm worried.
This may be.
This is where we get back on the schneid.
This may be the worst, like, most awful bet I've ever made. I'm taking under 42.5. In the Michigan State Iowa game.
Yeah. That's a great bet, though. Of coming from an under specialist.
And then I am this is so dumb. I'm taking UCLA to cover the 10.5 against Washington.
You've been winning with Washington. Now you're going against them.
He's been winning with UCLA here and there, too. Yep.
So where's that game at?
It's at the Rose Bowl.
Oh, okay. That's an interesting game. That's probably a fun game.
It's
going
to be 12 people.
UCLA's kind of falling off, but they could.
That's a 10:30 at night.
Okay, nice.
Friday or Saturday night.
And
on
you're
Peacock.
You covered with Washington last week, and they are a team that is like up and down.
Well, there's probably
going to
be more purple in that crowd than there is UCLA.
Quite
for
frankly,
sure.
I pick anybody that's playing Purdue right now.
No, but that would be if I was out there, that'd be a fun game to go to, UCLA Washington.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, it's just fun to go to the Rose Bowl. No,
don't forget
what.
On our bucket list, we still have Washington to go to a Washington game.
Yep. I would love to do it.
That beautiful campus.
I would love to do it. I wanted to mention real quick some unfortunate injury news. Mike is out for the season. He hurt his knee.
So are the Chiefs.
I hated that.
We still have life, damn it.
That was one of my things. The Chiefs. No, keep going. I want to hear about Mike.
Well, he blew his knee out, and he has to get surgery. Yeah. So he's out for the season, which
Falcons are done.
He's had a lot of unfortunate.
Kirk Cousins time, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Time to earn that paycheck.
But we are very much looking forward to heading to Baton Rouge. Can't wait to recap it all on the show next week. Should be a lot of fun. So for Colin, who thank you for coming in tonight. For the big fella, the Tuna Country, Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.